WNTN Radio, welcome back to my show Italy Echo. This is your host Viviana Dragani, and today I have a very interesting guest from Bulgaria. His name is Ilian Kuzmanov. So Ilian, hi, welcome, and congratulations for being first Bulgarian writer hiring top 20 of Amazon and receiving major book prize here in the US. Welcome to Italy Echo.
Thank you.
So let's start talking about yourself. So you are a very interesting and mysterious person. You have been traveling a lot in your life, and you have been to Italy as well, right?
Yes, many times. And it's
wonderful.
Really, so I love it.
Wonderful. Where?
Oh, Rome, Venice, Naples, Naples, love it. Many places. It's like Milano, Turin, different places, a lot. I was traveling a lot, but it's I cannot say which one is my favorite. Maybe Rome, maybe Naples. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Napoli, Roma. Okay, and you have been traveling to the UK, working in the UK, and you told the media in the UK that you learned everything about business on the streets of London. But we know that in Montreal, you worked during the mayoral elections. Did you hear anything about the New York Six family or the Bonanno family?
No, it's a... Yeah, I was working with one of the candidates for the mayor elections in Montreal, Marie-José Mastromonaco, and she was from Italian family, but they were wonderful people. She was in the educational system of Montreal. She's from the Liberal Party, and she's from the Blair family, and she's that wonderful people. It was a really nice experience for me. It was when I was finished my university, and it was really, really nice.
Great. And some people are saying that you were not only assisting, but coordinating with a lot of people. So did these connections and experience lead to your success in London?
I was responsible for a few people that they were helping during the election. Actually, I was one of these people, and the lady just put me on. She took me with her, and I started assisting her and just a bit coordinating these people. But it wasn't something major or something really important.
Mm-hmm. And in some interviews, you mentioned the oldest church in London at which you worked from day one. So before that, were you studying religion?
A bit, just a bit in Canada. I was thinking to do a PhD, history of religions, but in one moment I decided just to stop and start doing business and working.
And on your London client list, there are some of the most influential people in the country, if not in the world. So as well as some of the very richest. Is that true?
Yes, I have really nice clients, and I'm trying to do my best. But I prefer to be more, to keep it more private. But yes, I'm working for really nice people in London.
Wonderful. And speaking about honor and secrecy, so you have been in Venezia, Italy, in the oldest private clubs in Europe. Were you learning how to serve better?
Yes, I was doing the British Butler Institute courses, and it was a really nice experience because it's from the moment that I start my company in London, I was trying to level my bar as high as possible. And these guys are the benchmark for real good service. These are the people who are training the personnel for the royal family and for other successful people. And I learned a lot from them. It was really nice. And in Venice, it was my first time in Venice, and I love this city. It's so beautiful.
And how about the people who were responsible for the personnel of Rothschild and the royal family? They were your teachers in Italy?
Yes, I had really nice teachers. But by the way, it's like all the time, like even like in Italy, even like in Montreal, I had the chance to learn from some of the best people in the world.
And what do you say about Q-Essential?
It was, yes, I mentioned it, that these guys, it's like when I start and my business in London, this company was something that I always wanted to be like, my business to be like them. They provide really personally tailored service. And it's like, it was like a joke because it's like, I just proposed myself to them and said like, guys, I just want to work for you. And it's like, I don't want to be paid or whatever. I even can give you from my stuff. I just want to learn. But this was my motto from all the time and all the places, wherever I've been. It's like I'm just trying to learn and to be better and to excel myself.
And now tell us about the story of the Russian girl with whom you crossed the world, visited some of the best doctors, and even made her documents for travel to the UK. Was she somehow linked with the Russian mafia?
I don't know. It's like, yes, it was really interesting story. And even a year ago, a hospital from Kiel, Germany, they returned me some money that I spent there. And with this money, we help here in Bulgaria, the local artists, the people who are doing writings and all that. It's like, it was really a life-changing experience traveling around the world. Like even with her, I visited the Dalai Lama, personal doctor. I was in the Himalayas and all that. It was really nice. I don't know. It's like, it was really complicated story. But maybe it's for that I'm doing my foundation here in Bulgaria now. It's like, this was one of the reasons that I'm trying to fight human trafficking and all these things.
Thank you. And you had an encounter in the Philippines and recently had an interview with a guy who is really popular in Russia, hundreds of thousands of followers. They call him the new Rasputin. Is that right?
Yes, it was a really nice interview. And he also is a writer. He had been in Canada, and I know that he was like running a few churches in Canada. And yeah, it's really mysterious guy who was speaking about a lot of things, but I'm not really into the conspiracy and all that. It's like, it's not my style. It's like I'm more on the ground guy.
Mm-hmm. And visiting the Dalai Lama, is there something more that you can tell us about the mysterious place? Did you learn something up there in the Himalayas? Wise lamas, temples?
Yeah, it's really nice place, and it's like it's a lot of energy there. It's even the air, and it's like you're high in the mountains and the people and all that. But for me, it's like I wasn't there for myself. Even that I supposed to stay a bit longer, I stay shorter. But it was a really nice experience. Like even now, I had a presentation of my book in Sofia, and with the British Bulgarian Chamber of Commerce. And before starting the presentation, in one moment, I just saw a guy with orange, and I just like saw a monk in front of me. I said, like, oh, it's like, oh, what do you want? It's like, I want to autograph. And I said, like, okay, maybe there is, you know, it's like somebody's making a joke with me. But it was like there were like two real monks there in the presentation, my first presentation in Bulgaria. And we spoke a lot, and yeah, it's like it's not important. Maybe it's not important to go to Dharamsala alone, to go to Dalai Lama to see the some wise people and to learn some things. It's like you can learn everywhere you've been. It's like you don't have to want to learn. It's like it's coming.
And Ilian, one of the best-selling authors in New York, who is also a Buddhist, recently said your book is just the thing he was looking for. How is it possible for an outside man to get so much wisdom?
Joseph, he was saying the exactly the same thing, that it's like it's... he was saying that when he started practicing Buddhism, he read a lot. and most of the books were just like straightforward. And what he discovered with my book, it was this not ordinary way. And it's like, it's I don't have rules inside the book. I don't have like, I don't say people to do some things. Or, and he's saying this is the Buddhism, this is the important things, because you don't have to search for something to find it. It's like it's finding you when you don't search it. It's like it's quite reversed than our understanding about wisdom, because usually we have the notion that we have to go and learn and read about the wisdom, but in the Buddhism it's a bit different. It's like it's sometimes it's the wisdom is finding you when you don't look for it. It's like it has to happen naturally. It doesn't have to happen by force. By the way, this is in the title of the book. It's that the Buddhists call it like, if you meet Buddha, cue him. And it's a koan from the Buddhism. And it's because Buddhism is built on the dialogue between teacher and the student. And after many years spent in the monastery, teacher provoke the student by telling him, like, if you go on the road and meet Buddha, cue him. And in this moment, the student is like, it's really confused, because he's saying, like, okay, I devote my life to Buddhism, this all the study and to Buddha, and you're telling me if I meet Buddha to cue him, it's like, what's happening? And in this moment, teachers tell him that you have to have own compass, like moral compass, ethical compass. And during all these years, I built you as a person that has to be able to say, like, no, I will not do that, because this is not the way that I want to. This is about the critical thinking that not always we have to listen to the authorities, not always we have to follow them. Sometimes we have to be able to say, no, this is not my way. This is different way. I don't want to do it.
Got you. And some people say that the penalty for you was to lose one of your business in London, an award-winning bistro and social business that was generating hundreds of thousands of pounds. Is that true? Is it linked with your fight against corruption? We know a lot about Barking, the most criminal place in the UK.
I don't know. I just can guess. But even it was like, if I have to do it, I'm going to do it again, the same way that I was doing it. This was my way.
Okay. And was it true that your relative lost everything taken by the communist regime? And even more, do you have relatives in a very noble and influential Ottoman family with deep historical roots? There was a legend that your family 200 years ago buried a lot of gold and treasure in Bulgaria before the independence.
It's legends for kids and for the old men, but it's in general, yes, my family was even after next week we are celebrating, because I just put a monument there a year ago. About my grandfather, who was the first mayor of the village after the independence, but he was also very powerful and influential before that. He was doing trade, and he was doing a lot of things, and it's not important the treasure in general, it's important the things that he did, because they built the school, they contribute a lot about the local church, about the library, and about a lot of things. They were helping people a lot, and it's like from them I learned that we have to rely on first place on ourselves, and we have to help by ourselves to other people. And the other thing is like my grandfather, he was like a hero during the wars, before the First World War. He saved a lot of people. He went with 30 men from my village, and he returned all of them. Even they passed through different camps and all that. And yeah, I am proud with them. And we don't have to forget our roots at all.
Right. And in Bulgaria, your story continued, and you even created a groundbreaking foundation to fight corruption, human trafficking, and to generally help people. Was that your response to the story before?
Maybe to different stories, because even staying in Bulgaria, it was connected with really complicated story. With it's in my life, it's always connected with woman, and then maybe into woman with troubles. And yes, I stayed in Bulgaria because similar story, and I had difficult moments. And what I try to do, it's just to build a bridge, because, like, you know what I learned from Venice, it's like there was a saying that when Marco Polo was traveling, and when he was to Genghis Khan, Genghis Khan was asking him what was the greatest invention that you did in Venice. And what Marco told the Genghis Khan, it was the greatest thing, it was our bridges, because we were connecting with people. And what I was trying to do, it's like I'm trying to build bridges as well. It's like trying to facilitate the roads for the other people who were passing after me.
And can we say that you are a modern version of Robin Hood or something like that?
No, I don't steal money, but I'm using the money from some people. With their help, I'm doing a lot of things, and I'm providing service for that. It's like it's mutual, but I own them a lot.
Thank you, Ilian. So where can our listeners find your book, more information about you and your book?
On Amazon. The book now is on English. And there are a lot of publications now. It's about these personalities more interesting than the book at all.
Okay, so again, the title is If You Meet Buddha, Kill Him, A Pilgrimage to Freedom by Ilian Kuzmanov. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.